Begin the current daf Masechet Pesachim daf Pei Gimel. Begin on the top line of the Yomid, where the Gemara continues the discussion of the previous daf. And that is, we had in our Mishnah on the previous daf that brought a machlokes between the Tanakama and Rebbe Yochanan Bereker regarding what is Yisarif Miyad and what requires Ibitzura. And that is, the Tanakama's opinion was that there's a difference between if the animal itself, the carbon itself became Tamei, then it's what's called a Psul HaGuf, and then if that Psul happened, let's say, on Erev Pesach, when the carbon Pesach is being brought, then you could burn it right away. However, if the Psul was in the Bailam and the owner, that he became Tamei or he died, then there's nothing really intrinsically wrong with the animal. It would be disgraceful then to just burn a very fit carbon. Therefore, you have to do what's called Ibur Tzura, let the form change, leaving it overnight. Now it's already not as in perfect state as it was before. Now you can go ahead and burn it. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan Bereker said, then no, even if it's a psul in the bailam, it's still going to be considered something that invalidates the carbon, and hence you could burn it even on Yudal Nisan. You don't have to wait till the morning of the 16th. Now, the Gemara had a machlokes between Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Yochanan regarding when did Rabbi Yochanan Bereker say this psul of the bailam would allow one to even do Yisarif Miyat to burn it right away. Rabbi Yosef said that's only if the psul was before the Zrika. Therefore, the Zrika wasn't really such a great Zrika because it was being done for a carbon that didn't have anyone to eat it anyway. Hence, it is on some level like a psul aguf. That's when Rabbi Yochanan Bereker argued on Tanakam and said that still even then you would say Yisarif Miyat. But if it would be after the Zrika, then even Rabbi Yochanan ben Bereker would agree that one would have to wait through Ibur Tzura to the morning of the 16th. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan said that no, even if it's a psul of the bailam after the Zrika, even then the halacha is going to be that Yisarif Miyat. And he said that Rabbi Yochanan ben Bereker and Rabbi Nechemya say the same halacha as we explained in the previous daf, where Rabbi Nechemya showed the same idea with the death of Nadav and Avihu, that this inability of Aaron to consume the carbon, which is like a achazrika, still we consider that there was Yisarif Miyad, so therefore you see that even achazrika is going to be Yisarif Miyad. That's where our current daf begins, where Rabba Meisiv Af Rabbi Yisrael Galili, that Rabba added to that list of Rabbi Yochanan, who not only Rabbi Yochanan ben Bereker and the town of Rabbi Nechemya, that they say this idea of that even that it's going that a psul of bailam is not going to require ibur tzura, and that is as Rabbi Yochanan had said in that opinion of Rabbi Yochanan Bereker, even if it's after zrika, so therefore an invalidation of the owner, as Rabbi Yochanan Bereker said in our Mishnah, not like the Tanakama, who said that it's going to require ibur tzura, that they hold not. Rabbi adds to that count of those two, he adds, where Rabbi Yochanan only said two, he adds a third one, that's Rabbi Yosef Galili. The Tanakh learned the Bryce as follows. Rabbi Yosef Galili, I mean, he says, Kol inyan kul, the entire parsha, which he's referring to, what's in Sefer Vayikra Perek Vav, which says v'chol chatas ashayuv midama, that any karmen chatas which will be brought in from its blood, where the Rabbanon, who argue in Rabbi Yisrael Galili, they say in Masechet Zevachim Daf Pei Beis Amud Aleph, that's a reference to chatas chitzayna, the karmen chatas that's brought outside in the Azara, and it was brought, its blood was brought inside the Heichal. That this pasuk is talking about the invalidation of that blood, and that the Torah says tisarf that should be burnt. Basically, argues on that, and he says, he says it's not talking about, as we had translated on previous dafim, that it's a reference to bloods that were not supposed to be brought in or out. It was just supposed to stay in the Azar, and if it's brought inside, then you have to go ahead and burn that carbon. Rather, it's told by carbonists that are generally supposed to be brought inside, which they're called chatois hapanimius. They are brought inside. For example, Rashi says, a par helm dabashal tzibur, which is when the tzibur goes ahead and Bezdin makes a psak, which is erroneous, and everyone does the wrong thing. On that, the Torah tells you that ashayavim midama, that when this blood is brought inside, which is like how it's supposed to be, because those bloods are cold, they are brought inside, el olamayid, and that is what the pasuk says, that it should not be eaten, rather be'esh tisav, it should be burnt in fire. Now Rashi explains, regarding a kashra, the parm hanisrafim, those that are burnt, that are generally brought inside, but that we don't need a pasuk to say that they're burnt, because that the pasuk already says in Mayikra Perek Dal, Vistarif Oysel Eitzim, we know that you should burn those karbanas. Even when they're done properly, they're burnt. That's why they're called the Parm Hanasrafim and the Sirim Hanasrafim. Rather, what this pasuk is coming to show with when it says that the Chatas Ashayuv Midama is referring to these karbanas that were invalidated with either when they're going out or where they're allowed to go out from that proper area or the halach of Tumah. And that the pasuk teaches you, Listrev Pesulehem Abes Habira. They always burn these karbanas, even when they're properly done. But that the pasuk is teaching over there in Vayikra Vav, that where do you burn it? You burn it by in front of the Beis HaMikdash. And not out of the three camps of Machne Shechina, Machne Levi, Machne Yisrael, how it's usually done when it's properly brought those karbanas. And also, additionally, Melitin Loisa Selichalasin, and then is coming to give a negative prohibition for one that consumes it. And that's what basically says. He argues on their interpretation of that pasuk. It's not a reference to the outer chatois, which wrongfully are brought inside. No, we're talking about those that are rightfully brought inside. However, they had a different invalidation, which was they had their own psul of yotze or their own psul of tumah, and that was saying now that you brought it inside, this carbon should go ahead and be burnt, but not how it's usually burnt out of the three machnas, rather in front of the bira. And that's because it was done wrongfully, so therefore we're referring to chatois apnimis, not chatois achitzainis. So Amaloi, they said to him, if that's the case, so we were learning the pasuk regarding a chatas that's supposed to be in the azar, not brought inside the heichal, and that was our source. But now that you're using the pasuk to say regarding the chatas hapanimius, how do you have a source for the outer carbon chatas that when they're brought inside the heichal, that then they're going to be pasul? On that, Amalahan, he said to them, that from this is from the pasuk which we were discussing in the previous daf, that Moshe Rabbeinu said to Aaron, Hain behold, lehuva es damah elakodesh penima, that its blood was not brought inside the heichal, which was, they were having this discussion about why, Aaron, did you burn the musaf Reish Chodesh? You're supposed to eat it. So Moshe Rabbeinu was trying to figure out different reasons, rationales, why did Aaron burn it? Was it because it was brought inside? So Aaron said not. So he was saying it wasn't brought inside the heichal. Oh, so the inference the Gemara is proving from this, what basically is telling the Rabbanan, mechlal di nafik ihi, the inference could be that if it would have been taken out of the Azara, the Musaf Reish Chodesh, inami ayildama, or if it was brought inside, because that's what Moshe Rabbeinu was telling to Aaron. He says, as the Gemara had discussed in the previous daf, was it brought outside? He said, no. He said, was it brought penima? So he says, no, it was Kodesh, and it was where it's supposed to be. It was in the Azara. So on that, Moshe Rabbeinu was saying that then, if it would have been like that, then Besreifa, it would have been burnt. But if it wasn't, then why was it burnt? And that's the discussion which the Gemara explains also why it was burnt. However, one thing we do see is that Rabbi Yitzchak Lili was telling him, that's how I know that there's going to be a chiv of Sreifa if you have a carbon that was chatas chitzainis that was brought inside. Now, based on this, Rabbi says that not only would have been well burnt if it was brought inside, but what was in the case of the Musaf Reish Chodesh by Aaron, that they burnt it immediately. Now, so Rabbi says, when in fact Rabbi Yitzchak Lili learns, kachay darism, in other words, for all karbanas, that the halacha would be, we learn enough from the chatas of Aaron, that is just like over there when they're supposed to stay in the Azara. If it would have been brought inside into the Heichal, it would have been burnt. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu was saying. If that's what happened, I understand. And Aaron said, no, that's not what happened. And ultimately ended up telling him the reason why it was burnt. However, what we do see, as Rabbi says, is that if the blood would have been brought inside for all karbanos, for all future times, not only would we be learning, as Rabbi Yosef Lili says, that it would be burnt, but it would be burnt immediately, just like the chatzis of Aaron was, that it was burnt immediately. Now, therefore, Rabbi says, although this invalidation was an invalidation in the blood, which is like what's called the psul machmas zavar acha, it wasn't an intrinsic psul in the carbon, the Musaf Reish Chodesh was a good carbon. The only problem that would have been, hypothetically, in this case that Moshe Rabbeinu was entertaining is that if this is what happened, that it was brought inside, would have been a psul in the dam. Now that is what Rabbi says, is like Rabbi Yechim and Bereika, that we find that it's the same idea, that is because the Gemara assumes right now that dam and bailam, as the Gemara had said in the previous daf, they seem to be the same type of psul, and yet still we see that there was no requirement of Ibur Tzura. So there's a few different components, but the main idea Rabbi is saying that we learn from Brisa Glili is that he says that you could learn out all karbanis, which is what the halacha that the Rabbanu were asking him, where do you know chatas chitzainis that are brought inside that's going to be possible? He learns that from Aaron. In spite of the fact that Aaron was a kodshe, it was a one time in moment in history that they did that, but still he would say that you learn out bringing any chatas outside inside would be possible. And therefore it would be the same in regards to when they burnt it. If that would have been the case, that they had brought it inside, which Moshe Rabbeinu would have said would have made sense, was they burnt it immediately, which means that you don't need Ibur Tzura for a Chatzis HaChitzainis that is brought inside. And therefore you see that although that invalidation of the Chatzis HaChitzainis brought inside was a psul in the dam, that the dam would have been brought in, but the carbon would have been good, so you see that a psul in dam, although that is a psul machmas davar acher, it's an extrinsic, on some level, psul. And that is similar to like the psul of Bailim. And therefore, you see that he's essentially saying the same thing as a Gereichen Memreika. So therefore, Rabbi added on another one, not only Rabbi Yechen and Memreika and Rabbi Nechemia, but also this opinion of Rabbi Yosef Lili. Now, the Rabbanon do not agree to Rabbi Yosef Lili, and they hold that you cannot learn out what's called Darius from Shaw. You can't learn out from that one time in history that was burnt right away to say the same thing regarding the Kodshe of Darius. And that is, although Moshe Rabbeinu was entertaining the idea to say that if it would have been brought in, it would have been burnt, That's not necessarily that would have been the case, and therefore you can't learn that from the Fedaris. And hence, similarly, we wouldn't be able to learn out this idea of not requiring Ibr Tzura. And therefore, Rabbi was saying that he wouldn't agree to this halach of Birchim and Bereka de Rabbanan. However, B'Yisa Glili is obviously saying this idea that you learn out from there the idea of Sreifa, and also the idea as was done by Aaron, that it would have been burnt right away. Now the Gemara asks Rabbi Yechanan that he does not count Rabbi Yisa Glili in this list. He only counts Rabbi Yechim and Bereka Aram Nechemya. Why doesn't he include Rabbi Yisa Glili? That seems clearly like Rabbi said that he holds that the halacha is even the psul in Machmas Dabar Acher, as it is in the case was over there, which was in the dam, not in the carbon itself, and yet it was burnt right away without Ibr Tzura. And that sava he holds that dam ubasar chadamilsi. The blood and meat are essentially the same thing. That is going to tell you that, yes, by the psul of dam, I agree to that story which Rabbi Yisa Glili is saying, that would not require Ibr Tzura. And that's because dam on some level is still a psul in the guf, as if the meat itself became tame. However, by lemil sachriti, regarding the owner becoming tame, that's something else. In other words, who would tell you that by psul of the bailam, that is where he would agree to Rabbi Yechim and Bereka? Maybe Rabbi Yisak Lili would hold that no, psul in the bailam, that's totally extrinsic. And therefore, that would require Ibr Tzura. And that's why Rabbi Yechanan did not say like a rabbi to add onto that list of Rabbi Yechim Bereka and Rabbi Nechemya, because although dam is, let's say, a lesser of a level of psul haguf than the meat itself, however, it's still higher than the bailam. And therefore, Rabbi Yechim and Bereka and Nechemya, we see clearly that they say it even regarding the meat and regarding the owner, and that is by the owner that we say that that's considered a psul haguf. But no one ever said that the same thing would apply to the bailam by Rabbi Yisak Glili, because Rabbi Yisak Glili is talking about the dam, and the dam, maybe he holds that's like the basar itself, it's part of the animal, and therefore that's where he would say it doesn't require Ibr Tzura, but maybe he would say that it requires Ibr Tzura by the psul of the bailam. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah. Again, continuing on this halach of the previous Mishnah regarding psulim that require to be burnt. And that is regarding, as we said in the previous Mishnah with Tumah, our Mishnah continues with this halacha. So the Mishnah says, Ha'atzamais, regarding the bones of the carbon Pesach that one cannot break, and that's because there's an isra of breaking the bones of the carbon Pesach, and therefore the marrow that's inside the bone gets left over, hence that's included in the halacha of Neiser, and therefore it has to be burnt. So these bones and Vahagidin and the sinews, and the Gemara is going to ask what type of sinews are those that have to be burned, eat them, it's just like meat. And Vahanaisin, the third one, is those that are left over, meaning from a regular kosher carbon Pesach, which a person was lazy and he didn't properly finish the carbon Pesach as it's supposed to be. So regarding all these three different types, Yisarfu B'Shisha Aser, they are burnt on the 16th of Nisan, which is the first day in Eretz Yisrael of Chol HaShomayim, which then you could burn. However, although Rashi says that the psul of Neiser is already on the morning of the 15th, which is the night after the Seder, one cannot burn it then because that would be on Yom Tov, and we cannot burn Kachim on Yom Tov, as the Gemara explains. However, it's burnt on the 16th because all these three items become nicer, as we said, at Atzamos by default become nicer because you can't break the bone to get to the marrow, and the marrow is a part of the Karban Pesach that's supposed to be eaten. The Gid and the Gemara will explain why that is something that it's not going to be eaten, but yet it's considered basr, which is included in halach of neiser, that has to be burned. And neiser is obviously the regular piece of meat that weren't finished in its proper time. Mishnah says, chal tezayin lis b'Shabbos. However, if the 16th of Nisan is on Shabbos, so you have the first day of Yom Tov, you have tezvav on Friday, and then tezayin, which is when we said you could burn it, is then Shabbos. Yisof b'yadzayin, then you burn it on the 17th. And the reason is, lefi she'enon teichin lois Shabbos lois Yom Tov, because burning this leftover kachim is not allowed to be done, not on Yom Tov, as we said on the 16th, and on the 15th, and it can't be deicha Shabbos, which in this case is the 16th, and therefore you do it on the 17th. So now the Gemara first goes through the different cases of Atzamis, Gidin, and Neisen, starting off with the first case of the bones. So first the Gemara says, the Amar of Mori Baravu Amar Bietzchok. We're going to say halacha, and then we're going to relate it to our Mishnah. So he says, Atzamis Kodshim Sheshimshu Neisen, regarding the bones of Kodshim, of Karbonis that were brought in the base of Mikdash, that served Neisen. And that is, what does that mean? It means the marrow that's inside the bone was left over, wasn't eaten in the time that the carbon is supposed to be eaten. And this bone was serving, it was holding the marrow that's inside of it. Halacha is, mitamenes yadayim. The bones will convey tumma to the person that's holding it, as neiser itself, where there's a gezeres chachamim, that neiser should be mitamen yadayim, as the Gemara explains in the last parak in Kaf Chof Beis. And later on in the parak, the Gemara is going to bring this in the Gemara. So therefore, we say that this same halacha of neiser that applies to the mayach, which is called the marrow of the bone, same thing would apply to the bones that are holding that. And the reason is, since the bone is a base, it's considered, as we find in Hilchos Shabbos, a similar concept. A base has, it gets the similar halacha. It's like a tuffel. It's subsidiary to the thing that it's supporting. Therefore, the bone has the same halacha, and it has to be burnt. Just like neiser has to be burnt of the marrow that's inside of it. So the Gemara says, "Nimi sayele, let's support this halacha of Rav Mari in the name of Rav Yitzchok from our Mishnah, because our Mishnah says, Hadsama is the bones, Vagidim and the sinews, Vahanoisin, that's which is left over Yisrof Letazayin, that's burnt on the 6th of Nisan." So the Gemara asks, "Hani Hadsama is Hechadami, what is the case of these bones that the Mishnah is essentially telling us that its main objective, it's going to be burnt? Because what does it mean it's going to be burnt? If it's talking about regular nicer, so that's included nicer. It sounds like that these things have to be burnt. These are the things that are burnt, and those are the halachas when it's burnt. Our Mishnah said on the 16th, why are these bones going to be burnt? If there's no marrow inside these bones, why is it even burnt in the first place? Neshdinu, just throw it away. Because the Torah only requires one to burn something of nicer, of a kachim, only something that's fit to eat. And what's left over from that, as the Pasuk says, don't leave over, which means to say that you should consume it. If it's left over, then you burn it. But if it's something that's not edible, that's not considered that you didn't eat it and that you left it over. So if it didn't have marrow, it wouldn't be burnt in the first place. El b'shita, the isbumach, obviously these bones that our Mishnah is saying have to be burnt on the 16th of Nisan, has marrow, and initially it's like designated to be burnt, and the reason is because you can't break these bones. And therefore, by default, they're going to inevitably become nicer. And that's why Rashi says we consider that as a separate category in our Mishnah. We did not include it in nicer because nicer of our Mishnah means that you left it over, you were negligent, you should have eaten it, you were lazy. Here, it's essentially something else because it's inevitably going to become nicer because you can't break the bone to get the marrow out of it. Now, if you say like Rabbi Yitzchak, that supporting, being a base for nicer of the marrow is something, and therefore it gets the same halachic status as the marrow itself. That's why it has to be burnt. Even the bones have the same halachic status like the marrow, and that's why you have to burn the bones, exactly like Rabbi Yitzchak's halacha. But if you say the supporting of nicer is not considered something of significance, and then therefore, since it was left over and became invalid, now once it's already puzzled, there's no more any prohibition of breaking the bones, as the Gemara will explain later. It says in the Pasuk, "V'etzem le'sishbru boi," you should not break a bone in the Karban Pesach. What's boi inside of it? It sounds like it's excluding something. It means only in a kosher Karban Pesach, not a one that's puzzled. Once it's already left over, there's no more issur of breaking the bones. So lama usreifa? Why do you have to burn the bones? Not verino. Break the bones. When the chaltza lamayach did too, and you'll be able to then take out the marrow that's inside of it. When the sarfa, and then burn the marrow. When the shtina lid did too, and then throw away the bones. Why do you have to go through the whole effort of getting to burn the bones and to get firewood? But that's a whole challenge. For what purpose? Just go ahead, break the bones, take out the marrow. There's no more problem about breaking the bones now. It's already nicer. And then just burn the mayach, burn the marrow. Alav shmami. No, obviously we can infer that from our Mishnah, like Rabbi Yitzchak, that shimish neiser milsi, that obviously the fact that it's supporting it, that is why we have to burn it, just like the marrow itself, because it was shimish of the neiser. Because if not, you just break it and take it out, and you don't have to go through the effort of getting firewood to then burn the bones. And that thing was that they said loy. No, truthfully, there's no raya to Rav Mari in the name of Rabbi Yitzchak from our Mishnah. Because loyal memlecha, really, I'll tell you, shimish neisur lav milsa. Really, the fact that the bones are supporting the marrow doesn't give it a halachic status of marrow, and that would not require us to burn the marrow. Uksava, however, this Tana of our Mishnah holds that boy, when the pasuk says ve'etzem le'sishbru boy, which is regarding this issue of breaking the bone, that's not coming to exclude something that's invalid. In other words, once it already became neisur, that then you're allowed to break the bone. Rather, that's just the normative utility of how the Pasuk says it, that it was saying, and don't break a bone of it. And therefore, the Tana of Mishnah holds truthfully because of a Philip Apostle, that the Issur, breaking the bone, is not only by a kosher carbon, but even when it's puzzled, even when it's nicer. And that's why you have to burn the bones. Not because it's supporting the nicer, but rather because there's no way to get the marrow out of the bone to burn it, because there's still the prohibition of breaking the bone, even after it becomes nicer, but not because you have a chiv to break the bone itself. And that the Gemara asks, a Philip Psul Sakadaidik, can you really say that a Mishnah is not like Rabbi Yitzchak? And the reason is because our town of a Mishnah holds you still not allowed to break the bone even when it's possible. But about Nan, we learned in the Mishnah in the coming Daf, says Avla Meiser B'Tahar. However, if someone leaves over some of the carbon that's a tahar carbon, and that most definitely if it's tamei, that's not going to be a problem. V'hashayver b'tamei, and if someone breaks the bone of a non-kosher carbon pesach, then in the sevikas abram that he does not get malchus. The Gemara later on in the parak will explain this halacha. However, one thing we do see is that someone that breaks the bone of one that is tamei is not going to get malchus. And therefore, we see clearly from the Tana of the Mishnah on the coming Daf that if someone that there is a difference regarding if it's Tamei or Tahar, if it's Kasher or Pasul, and that if it's already Tamei, if there is an invalidation, that there is no Itzer of Etzem to break the bone of the carbon Pesach. And that's why he said that you're not going to get Malkus. It's only by a carbon that's Tahar or a carbon that's Kasher that you have the Itzer. So how can you say that the Tana of a Mishnah holds that the Itzer, and that's why you have to burn the bones, is even when it's nicer, even when it's Pasul, that you still can't break the bone to get to it? We see clearly from the Mishnah on the next Daf that there is no Isser of Etzem Leisishbu Boy when it's puzzle. Another thing versus like Kasha. That's not a contradiction to what our pshat that we said that our Mishnah will not bring a riot to Rabbi Yitzchak. And that's because Khan, our Mishnah, is Shahis Le Shas HaKosher. Our Mishnah was talking about that there was an opportune time for this carbon. In other words, for example, the case that we're talking about, when it's nicer, it's left over. Yeah, that's why it became possible. Before it was nicer, then this was a kosher carbon Pesach. Oh, if that's the case, so then there's still going to be an Isser of breaking the bone, even when it's going to be possible already. And that is the Isser of Boy is going to be even when it's possible. Khan, the Mishnah of the coming Daf, that makes it sound like that if it's a carbon that's tamei, if it's a carbon that's pasul, then there's no isser of breaking the bone. That's why you're not going to get malchus. That's shaloi hoisle shasai kosher. That was talking about that there was never an opportune time. It was never kosher, that carbon. Oh, if it's never kosher carbon, then boy is excluding that, which is, for example, as the Mishnah was talking about when it's tamei, it was talking about tamei before the zrika of the dam. Oh, then there's no Isser of breaking the bone. So therefore, we could still say that our Mishnah is not a riot to Rabbi Yitzchak. And the reason is because you still can't break it even when it becomes possible. Although the coming Mishnah says that when it's possible, that there's no Isser of breaking the bone. That's when it was always possible. It never had an opportune time. And then we say, that's when the Sish Boy comes to exclude something that never had a Shasa Kaisha. So the Gemara asks, Uman Tana, so who is the Tana of our Mishnah? Which is our Mishnah and the coming Mishnah, the Shanile, that differentiates in this idea that we just said regarding breaking the bone, Bein Shahoitz Le Shasa Kosher, that there's a difference if it had an opportune time, or if it didn't have an opportune time. And that is, as we said, that our Mishnah says it's even going to be when it's possible an Isser because it had an opportune time before it became Nicer, it was a Kosher carbon. Whereas when it was never Kosher, it was Tommy even before the Zrikis of Dam, then there is no Isser of Le Sishbru. And the Gemara answers Rabbi Yaakov, it's Rabbi Yaakov. The time, like we learn the Brisa, it says a pasuk in Shemayz ve'etzem le'sishbru boy, that the bone of the carbon pesach should not be broken. And now we have a machlekes. Tanakama says boy b'kasher v'loy b'pasul. Boy means in it. It's an exclusion to say that the isra breaking the bone is only when it's kosher, not when it's pasul. Yaakov Aymer, he's the town of our Mishnah. The Gemara says ha'isalei shasak kosher v'nifsel. If it had an opportune time, it was a regular kosher carbon. Then it became pasul. Let's say it was left overnight, became nicer. Then yesh b'mishmishri sets. And then even when it's pasul, as our Mishnah says, as the Gemara is saying, it's not a right or a bitzchok, is it going to be even then? Is going to be isra breaking the bone. Loisalei shasak kosher. If it never had opportune time, as we're saying that the Mishnah on the coming daf is going on when it became tummy, even before the zrika, then ein b'mishmishri sets. And then there is no isra breaking the bone. And that's what the Tana on the coming daf says, that you're not going to get sefer kesav bar. You're not going to get malchus for breaking that bone. Finally, the third opinion that is Reb Shimon Oymer. He says echadzeh, whether it had a shasak kosher or not, even by Mishumishris Etzim, as if it's going to be puzzle, there's not going to be Isser of breaking the bone. Again, therefore, there's no riot to Rabbi Yitzchak from our Mishnah. Again, that's because it's not because of the idea that Rabbi Yitzchak has said that there's an Isser of Nicer on the bone itself because it supports the marrow itself. Rather, because there's still a problem of breaking the bone even after it becomes Nicer. So now that there was no support from our Mishnah, another Gemara asks under Rabbi Yitzchak's opinion. Meisvei, we learn in the Braisa, Kolat Samis. All the bones that are left over from Hakachim from a carbon, ain ta'un and Sreifa. The bones do not have to be burned. Rather, what you do is you break the bone, you take out the marrow, and you burn the marrow, and you throw away the bones. Again, because only the marrow is considered part of the bus or part of the animal that has a chiyuv of Nisr to be burnt. Chutz me'atzomas ha-Pesach, except for the bones of the Korban Pesach, where you cannot break the bones. And the reason is b'nei ha-takala, because of the stumbling block, because of the transgression of etzem le'sishbrubay that you're going to have to be able to do to get to the marrow. And therefore, you burn the bones together with the marrow just because you have to burn the marrow. And the only way to do it is to burn the bones itself because you can't break the bones to get to the marrow. So now the Gemara asks, ha'nei ha-tzomas he'chadami. This brisa, regarding the bones, what are the case? If these bones have no marrow, why do you have to burn the bones of the Korban Pesach itself? We said, by the other Korbanos, you don't have to burn it. You just break it, take out the marrow, and you burn that. We're going to Korban Pesach, you have to burn it. Well, if there's no marrow, so why would you have to burn it for? Obviously, we're talking about that there's marrow in these bones of the Korban Pesach, that you have to burn the bones. Now, if you would entertain to say, like Rabbi Yitzchak does, that when something supports meat, marrow that's left over, therefore the bone itself gets the same halachic status. But then atzomes kachim. So regarding the case of the bones of the kachim, amayin tudin sreifa. Why do they not require sreifa? Yes, Korban Pesach requires. But why do we say by the other korbanos you could just break the bone and take out the marrow? They too should require sreifa because they were supporting the noisa that was inside, and therefore it should have the same halachic status because it's a basis. It was a base. But he's saying not. You could just break it and just burn the marrow. And that the Gemara brings two answers. Amar of Nechama Yitzchak, the first teretz is, Hachma Yiskinu, what we're talking about over here, it's a specific case that the Brayis was talking about, Kegoyin Shem Matzon Chalutzen. We're talking about that you found the marrow already taken out of the bones. And that is the entire Brayis is talking about, when you find this case that the marrow is taken out, which means it's broken and the marrow is out. Now that's why there's a discrepancy between the Korban Pesach and other Korbanos. At some is kachim, regarding the bones of kachim, de'ein behem mishum shuris etzim, there is no prohibition of breaking bones of other karbanos. You're allowed to break it, and therefore we say, oh, that probably, that this marrow never came to halachic status of nicer to say that the bone was supporting the nicer, because when the guy wants to break the bone and enjoy the marrow, he probably ate it when he was eating the rest of the carbon. And therefore, Kamei didn't have a Noisa Chatzinu, probably before became Noisa, the guy broke it when he's eating his carbon, and he took out the Noisa, therefore, Voloi have a Shemesh Noisa. That means the bones were never a supporter of Noisa, and therefore, Voloi Bayis Reifa. That's why it doesn't have to be burnt, because it never came to Noisa. Whereas, at Samas HaPesach, regarding the bones of the Korban Pesach, where there is a issa, there's a transgression of breaking the bones, then we say, probably what happened was, is that after it was already nicer, that's when the bones were broken, and that's because, as Rashi explains, that this Tana holds like Reb Shimon, that holds there's no more iser of breaking the bones once it's already a carbon pustle, even if it had a shasa kosher, so once it's nicer, that's probably when it was broken. Oh, v'havalu shimish nicer, and therefore that means that the bones were supporting something that became nicer. It was only broken and taken out after it was nicer. Oh, and therefore, bo'is reifa, that's why it has to be burnt. You're right, truthfully, it's not difficult like Rabbi Yitzchak. If something does support nicer, it would have to be burnt. So then why by that tzomas of kachim doesn't have to be burnt? Because we're saying, we're assuming it was probably taken out when it was still not nicer, when you're allowed to eat it. You're allowed to break the bone and chew out the marrow. The Korban Pesach, you can't. It can't be broken then. And if it was probably broken after when it's already permitted, oh, then it was already supporting nicer, and that's why there you do have to burn it. Another teretz the Gemara brings, the second teretz to resolve Rabbi Yitzchak from this brisa, is that Zvid Amahi says, the Hachmei Eskinu, again, is talking about a unique case. Kagain, for example, we continue on to Amid Beis, Shemitza'an Tziburin Tziburin. We're talking about that there were piles of these bones. Umehen, and from the bones, he checked the upper bones, and he found, Chalutz and Atzames, that the bones had the marrows taken out of them. Now, kachim, regarding other karbanos, de'ein behem shmir shavayis etzem, as we said, there is no prohibition of breaking the bones. So, l'kulo havel chalitz l'huva achlu. So, probably, if you found the whole top part of the pile that they were broken and the marrow was taken out, probably the whole pile, is this guy was chewing it and he took out the marrow and then he made this whole pile of bones. So, therefore, v'loy b'yis reifa, therefore, you don't have to burn those bones. And essentially, what that means is, you don't have to check the low ones to see if they're broken or not, because we'd assume that they were all broken because you're allowed to. And if the top ones we see were broken already and the marrow taken out of them, therefore, we assume that all of them were. However, tzamas ha-pesach, the bones of the Korban Pesach, the yesh b'em mishum mishriya says, where there is a prohibition of breaking the bones, til mahani dechal tzinu, maybe there are those that were broken and the marrow taken out. Ulahanech loichal tzinu, maybe there are those on the bottom of the pile that were not broken. Uboyis reifa, and therefore they have to be burnt. And essentially, again, as Rashi explains, is that's why you have to check the whole entire pile, because we cannot assume that they're all broken, because there is that isser of breaking it, and therefore maybe they weren't all broken. And therefore we have to check. And Rashi says that this is really what Rav Zvid argues on Rav Nachman. Why didn't he say the same case? They're essentially very similar. If they were all broken and you just don't, which one can you assume? Was it done before became nice or after? Or if Zvid's saying a different case when you find the pile and do you have to check if they're broken or not? Is that Rav Zvid holds that if you find them all entirely broken with the marrow taken out of them, then he would hold even by the other karbanis that it's not so stringent, the halacha of neiser, so much to say that you have to burn them out of doubt than to say that it was probably after the issur that they were burned. He wouldn't say that even by the karban Pesach, and therefore he says that it's only talking about by this case where you don't know yet, then by karban Pesach you'd have to check. But if you find it already broken, then we won't assume out of doubt to say that, oh, it was probably done afterwards. No, if we find it broken, we would say that it was done even before, and then it wouldn't be usher because of this halach of Rabbi Yitzchak of Shemesh Noiser. And therefore, again, we have resolved the opinion of Rabbi Yitzchak in two different ways. Again, even though that the Atzamas would become Shemesh of Noiser, however, either because there's a difference of Karban Pesach and other Karbanas, if we'd assume that it was done before it's Noiser or not, or regarding would we have to go ahead and out of doubt and check, that's where Rav Zvid says that then by Karban Pesach we would have to, and by other Karbanas we wouldn't have to, again, but he would hold in contrast to the opinion of Rav Nachman, that if we'd find it entirely broken, then we wouldn't have to assume out of doubt, even by the Karban Pesach, that it was broken only after it became Noiser. Now the Gemara continues on to the next case of our Mishnah. We spoke about the case of Atzamos, what were these bones that were going to be broken? And that, as we said, either it's like Rabbi Yitzchak, who he said because the bones themselves become nicer, or he said because you have to burn them because by default you can't get the marrow out of them, because the issur of breaking the bones is whether it's by kosher or even by pasul. Now the Gemara moves on to the second item, which were by Gidin. So the Gemara brings an halacha and then it will reintroduce that regarding our Mishnah. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Marav, kol ha-gidin, all the sinews of the carbon are basar, are considered like a piece of meat, and it's like the flesh itself, and therefore in regarding to the halachas of Karban Pesach, that's what's called nimnan alein. You have to have enough of a kezayis for every single person. The sinews are considered part of the meat to have counting for the amount of the Karban Pesach for people to eat it, and you can fulfill your chiv of eating Karban Pesach with the sinews, chutz migidei tzaver, except for the sinews of the neck, which they're very hard and it's like a piece of wood, that would not be considered like a piece of meat to be Yotze Yechiv of the Karban Pesach. Now the Gemara asks from our Mishnah, so now we learn our Mishnah, had some of the bones, v'hagidim and the sinews, v'hanoisim, and those which are left over. So you have to burn these things. Yisrafu b'tezayin is burnt on the 16th of Nisan. Now hanagidim, these sinews which are Mishnah makes it sound like, just like we explained in the case of that summer, that by default, you have to go ahead and they're going to be burned. So when you burn it on the 6th of Nisan, what are these sinews that are inevitably going to be burned? Hey Chedami, what's the case? Ile megidei baser, if they're sinews which are like meat, as we said, generally the sinews are edible and people eat them. So nichlinu, what do you mean eat them? Why are we saying that when should they be burned? They're not burned, they're just like everything else. V'idi taiser, and if they were left over because one was lazy and didn't properly consume his entire Karban Pesach, so hainan neiser, that's the same exact case as neiser. In other words, there's nothing special about sinews, about gidin, any different ligaments. These are the same thing as flesh, and therefore why would we have to mention it as a separate category? Rather, it sounds like these are things that are going to be left over because there's no choice. One is not going to eat it. Alabshita, isn't it obvious? And this is the first interpretation of the case that our Mishnah is talking about, which is a question on this opinion of Rabbi Yehuda Marav, that obviously we're talking about Gidei Tzaver, must be talking about the sinews of the neck. And that is what the Tanna of our Mishnah is saying, is that since generally they're not eating, because they're very hard, as Rabbi Yehuda Marav had said, but obviously that our Mishnah is considering them like baser. And that's why it's said as the same as Atzamais, because we're saying that they're going to be definitely burned, because probably someone's not going to eat it. However, as the Gemara explains this, Ihamet b'shleima basenenu, this would make sense if our Mishnah holds that the gidim, the sinews of the neck, are considered flesh, considered baser. Therefore, if you were to eat it, you would fulfill your chiyuv of the Karban Pesach with it. Now, most people are not going to eat it. Amat lahachi b'yisrael, but that's why, by default, they're going to be burnt. But they're nicer to be burnt because it is baser, it is meat. It's just no one's going to eat it because it's too hard. Eliyamrit, but if you say, like Rabbi Yehuda Marav, that lav basanu, they're not considered meat at all, and therefore, even if you ate it for your carbon pesach, you would not fulfill your chiyuv. So lama l'usreifa, why does it have to be burnt? Our Mishnah seems to contradict his halacha, where he said that these gidin, which by default we're saying must be talking about gidin tzavir, because what other gidin are we talking about that are designated to be burnt? What do you mean? They should be eaten. And if it's going to be burnt, then it's like regular nicer. So contradicts the Yehudim Rav. Must be talking about gidin tzavir, and that they are considered as basr, although they're very hard and no one's going to eat them. And that the Gemara gives a few different terutzo. Rav Chizda says that, truthfully, that the sinews of the neck are not considered basr. Like Rav Yehudim Rav had said, and other gidim, you're right, are considered as full-fledged flesh, and they're fit to be eaten. Now, although our Mishnah sounds like that there are certain gidim which are basr, and therefore they would require sreifa when they're left over, but generally they're not going to be eaten, and that's why we said that you burn it on the 16th of Nisan. What is that case if not gidei tzaver? And then Rav Chizda says, lo yinitzrucha el legid hanasha. That's the second way of interpreting our Mishnah. They were talking about the gid hanasha, which is usher to be eaten, as it says in the Torah, which is the sciatic nerve, which that is very soft and it's fit to be eaten. Hence, it does have a halacha as basr. But I'll leave the Behuda. We're going according to Behuda. The time like learning a brisa. Behuda says that in truth, ein noyeg el ba'achas, the isser of gid hanasha is only by one of the two sciatic nerves. Now, however, the problem is we don't know which one of the two is the one that's asr. However, it would seem that the das, that the one's knowledge would lean towards that it's the right one. Therefore, as Rashi explains, from initially, that this one that's permitted to be eaten is going to be burnt, because we don't know which one is the one that's allowed to be eaten. Hence, although this one is really basr, it's not like a piece of wood as the one that's asr. The one that's asr, there's no problem with nicer because you can't eat it. It's not edible because it is an isr. But this one that's permitted, oh, that one is basr because it's regular basr, really regular kosher sinew, which is fit to be eaten. But since we don't know and we have to say that it's asr because one of them might be the gid hanasha, that's the asr one, that's what our Mishnah meant, that the Gidim, that those that are designated to be burnt, which is a reference to the Gid HaNasha, that we're not sure, which might be the Mutter one, is going to be burnt on the 16th of Nisan, but it's not talking about Gid Tzavir, because Gid Tzavir are not even considered as Basr to become Halach of Nisr, to have to burn. So based on this Tetzer of Chizda, the Gemara asks, Vela Tifshad, if that's the case, so then let's resolve the Gemara's question elsewhere, where that the Svuki Misafkele Rabbi Huda, that Rabbi Huda was still doubtful. He did not know which is the true Gid HaNasha that's Asr. And that is because the Gemara asks, in Chulin Daf Tzadik Amud Beis in Perek Gid HaNasha, Rabbi Huda said that this halach of Gid HaNasha only applies to one out of the two Gid HaNashas, to the sciatic nerves. Now, his words were, V'hadas machras, however the das, which means literally the intellect, would lean that it's the right one that's Asr. Now, the Gemara asked over there, was it resolved to Rabbi Huda that it's the right one? And when he says hadas machras, what he meant was das Torah, that the das of the Torah, as the Gemara there explains, that if you look at the Torah says it's hayerech of the thigh. Now hayerech, the thigh, sounds like the right one of the thigh, and therefore he was conclusive about his halacha, that the right one is asr and the left one is mutter. Or, the Gemara says, maybe he was doubtful, and when he said hadas machras, he says that our own knowledge would seem to lean that way, and I would seem like that, but I don't know, and therefore it's still a suffix. And that the Gemara is asking now, let us resolve that from what we just quoted now, from the fact that he says that the way we're understanding our Mishnah, the way Rav Chizda had just said, that it's based on the halacha of Rabbi Huda, that we're saying that these gidin are designated to be burned. Obviously, Rabbi Huda is misupik. He's doubtful. That's why we say that both of them have to be burned, because each one you could say that maybe that's the heter one, or maybe that's the heter one. Therefore, it is full-fledged basr, at least one of them, and hence it becomes nicer. But since from the beginning you can't eat it, because maybe it's the isser one, that's why we say that it's going to be inevitably burnt. And that is as the Gemara explains, that this is difficult according to Rav Chizda, because the imifshid pshitilei, because it had it been obvious to Rabbi Huda that one of them is the one that's mutter and one of them is the one that's asr, that is the right is asr, the left is mutter, then why would we say, as Rav Chizda is interpreting in our Mishnah, that chilasi l'sreifa, what do you mean? Hahida terin hechle, the one that's permitted, the left one, should be eaten. V'disur nishadi, and the one that's forbidden, the right thigh, should be thrown away. Lama l'sreifa, why is this sreifa? In other words, he's utilizing Rabbi Yehuda's opinion to explain this halacha, and that says that one is mutter, one is aser. And Hadat, we don't know which one, but Hadas and Macharas is the right one. So therefore, since we don't know, so you got to burn both of them, although one of them is essentially baser, hence that's the case of Gidin. But the Gemara asked, what the Gemara over there is not sure what was Rabbi Yehuda meant to say Hadas and Macharas. But based on Rav Chizkiya's interpretation, it seems obvious that he was still doubtful even after he said his term of Hadas Machras. So let the Gemara resolve from our Mishnah, which Rav Chizkiya is saying is going according to Yehuda, that we find that he's still doubtful. Why they say that maybe he did resolve it? So on that, Amr of Ikar Bar Chinina said that truthfully is that it was obvious that you could say that it was obvious to Rabbi Yehuda, and that's why the Gemara was still doubtful, that it was the right one that's Aser and the left one that's Mutter. And however, our Mishnah that says that you can't eat it and requires Sreifa was talking about Kagan Shehuku B'Sreifnes Arvo, where you knew about this halacha, that the right one's us and the left one's mutter. So then where do you ever have this case of one is automatically going to be burnt? The right one doesn't have to be burnt because like a piece of wood. And the left one's mutter is that they got mixed together. Now you don't know which is the right one, which is the left one. Therefore, although one here is considered full-fledged baser, it's inevitably going to become nicer. And that was the case of a Mishnah, again, not a question on the halacha of Rabbi Yehuda Marav, because the truth is, the Gidin of the Tzaver are not baser. Our Mishnah was talking about Gid HaNasha. What do you mean Gid HaNasha? Gid HaNasha is like a piece of wood. Oh, they permitted Gid HaNasha according to Rabbi Yehuda, and although we could say that he knew that Rabbi Yehuda had already resolved it, that he knows the right one is forbidden, the left one is mutter, but they got mixed together, and therefore, automatically, one of these are the heter one, but we don't know which one, and therefore you're going to have to burn it from its inception. Now the Gemara brings a third way of interpreting our Mishnah. Now, not like the previous two terutzim that, or two versions, that the Gid of our Mishnah was talking about either from the neck or the Gid HaNasha, rather of Ashi, or Vashi says that our Mishnah that says that there's a Gid, there's a sinew that is going to be from an inception, is going to be burnt, although it is baser, because it also wouldn't become nicer. It really didn't mean the Gid itself. It was talking about the fats of the Gid HaNasha, which those are, that fat is, min ha-Torah is permitted. However, as the Gemara will quote from a Braisa, that the minig is to make that forbidden because it's in the same vicinity, it's part of the Gid HaNasha, that's fat, therefore the Klai Yisrael, Kedoshim, they don't eat from that fat either. And that's why our Mishnah considers it as something that mitchilasa, from an exception, is going to be burnt. Because since in that Torah that fat is permitted, so therefore there is an Isser Nais on it, because it's permitted and it's considered buster, the fats are considered part of the Karban Pesach. However, as Rashi says, it will not be considered, which we had three different items in our Mishnah of Atzamos and Gidin and Neiser. It's not going to be the category of Neiser, because this, again, is similar to the case of Atzamos, where inevitably it's going to be left over. It's not because of one's laziness, rather because we can't eat it, because our minig is not to eat the fats. And that's why we have to tell you that an inception is going to be burnt. As the Gemara says, defined like learn the Braisa, Shamnei Mutter, truthfully, the Gid HaNasha, the fat around it is permitted. However, the Jewish people are holy, they want to stay very far away from Isser. And they accustom themselves that that should be Aser. Therefore, since from that Torah it's Mutter, and therefore it's Baser, so therefore it's going to become nicer. However, inevitably it's going to become nicer because we can't eat it because our minig is not to eat it. And that is what the case of Mishnah, again, not a question again on Rabbi Yehuda Marav, because it's not talking about the Gidim of the Tzaver. It's talking about the Gid HaNasha, but not the Gid HaNasha itself, but the fat around the Gid HaNasha. Now the Gemara brings another teretz, similar to like the second way of explaining the case of our Mishnah. Ravina Amar, he says, Bechitzen. We're talking about the outer one of the Gid HaNasha, Ukud Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Dam Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, that he says, Beis Gidin Hem. There are two sinews in the hip, Panimi HaSamach LaEtzim, regarding the inner one that's near the bone. And that's what's called the sciatic nerve. That's the large sinew, which is across the entire length of the hip. That's called the inner one because that's on the inner one of the hip, which sees the other hip that's on the other thigh, the hip that's on the other side. Now, regarding that one, the sciatic nerve, that's aser, v'chayav nalav, and one is going to be chayav in it, malchus, if he eats that sciatic nerve, that Gid HaNasha. Chitzin, however, the outer Gid, hasamach labasa, which is closer to the flesh, to the outside, that is going to be aser midrabban, it's only a rabbinic prohibition. The in chayav and love, however, a person will not be chayav on it, malchus, and that is as the Gemara explains over there. It says in the pasuk that you can't eat the Gid HaNasha asher al kaf hayerech, that's on the literally the spoon, but the round part of the thigh, which the Gemara there learns that that which goes along the entire part of the length. Now that's only the inner one, the sciatic nerve. However, the outer one doesn't. That's not asim and not tayr. And therefore, on that case is where our Tana said that from an inception, it's only going to be asr to be eaten midrabanan, as we said. Therefore, it's going to require sreifa because there is a shame of nisa, because minatayra, it is permitted to be eaten. And therefore, again, we have resolved the opinion of Yehuda Marav that truthfully, the gidin of the tzavar are not considered buster. So then we said, what do you mean? What's the case of a mission that we're saying that these gidin are inevitably going to be burnt? So as we said, either it's talking about the gid hanasha, according to Yehuda, that one of them are permitted, but we don't know which one, or that they got mixed up, and therefore that's why it's going to have to be burnt. Or we're talking about the shamnoi of the gid. We're talking about the fats of the gid, which we say that although minatayra, really it's permitted. However, min derabanan, we hold that it's also, or it's like the teretz we just said right now, that we're talking about the outer one. There's these two gids that are similar in this part of the sciatic nerve. The inner one is the one that's asr min atayra. The outer one's only asr min derabanan, and therefore, again, since it has a rabbinic prohibition, we're not going to eat it. But min atayra, it's mutter, and therefore it is basr, and therefore it's going to become nicer. However, since asr min derabanan, it's inevitably from an inception going to be asr. And that was what we meant when we said the gid, again, not difficult on Rav Yehuda Marav, who, yes, the gidei tzavar are not basr, and they're not going to become nicer. Now Gemara continues quoting from our Mishnah. We said, however, Chalta Zayin v'chulu, if the 16th of Nisan comes out on Shabbos, then you're not going to burn it because the burning of Kachem are not Teichi Yom Tiv and it's not Teichi Shabbos. Gemara asks, why is that? Nesi Asay, let the Asay of the mitzvah to burn Nisar, which says Be'esh Tisraif, we should burn it in fire, V'yitchi Lois Asay, and it should push away the negative prohibition of doing a Malacha Yom Tiv. There's a famous klal, a general rule of Asay Deicha Lois Asay, a positive commandment, where in this case is to burn the Nisar, should be Deicha the Issa Lois Asay of doing a Malacha, of burning on Yom Tiv. That thing more brings four answers. Amar Chizkiya, V'chein Tani De Be'chizkiya, Amakra, the pasuk says in Shemais, Loisasiru mi menu ad baker, don't leave over from the carbon up until the morning. Vanoisim ad baker, and whatever is left over until the morning, be'esh tisrefa, should be burnt in fire. Now, she'ain tamalim ad baker, there's really nothing that the second ad baker is teaching us, because it already said ad baker in the first time. Why does it repeat ad baker? Not tamalim ad baker. Litin loy baker, she'ain ilisrefa, it's giving us a second morning to be burnt, and that is because the first day, which is still Yom Tiv, then you don't burn it. The pasuk is saying at breaker again to say that we wait till the next morning, to the 16th of Nisan, and only then we burn it. That's one source. Abayama, he brings a different source. Amar Kurd says in the pasuk in Sefer Bamidbar, says Oyle Shabbos b'Shabbata. You bring the oil of the carbon Shabbos on Shabbos, which excludes below Oyle Shchel b'Shabbos, not to bring a weekday carbon on Shabbos. Not to bring a week to carbon oila on Yom Tov. So therefore we see that even bringing a full-fledged carbon oila of a weekday one is not Teichi Yom Tov. Most definitely to burn an invalid carbon of the weekday, that you definitely can't do that on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Now as Rashi explains, the carbon Pesach, although we associate it with Pesach of Yom Tov, it's essentially a carbon of chayil, because its blood is thrown on the 14th of Nisan, which is on Erev Pesach, and you can't bring it at nighttime, which would already be Yom Tov, so therefore it's a carbon of chayil. And that's now, though the pasuk says lo yon la baker, that you shouldn't leave it over to the morning, which is mashma that it is kosher the entire night. On that, the Gemara already explains in the New Testament base that that's talking about when the 14th of Nisan fell out on Shabbos, which then they're not called chel v'chol, then they're called chel v'Shabbos, because in this case, the Erev Yom Tov was on Shabbos, and therefore then one would be able to go ahead and do it on Shabbos, on Yom Tov, because it's not considered anymore Oilus Chol b'Shabbos, and Yom Tov would be considered Oilus Shabbos. However, generally, the Karban Pesach is considered Oilus Chol, and therefore you can't go ahead and burn it on Yom Tov, as even a regular full-fledged carbon of the weekday cannot be burnt on Yom Tov. Rav Amma, he brings a third source. He says, Amar Krad says a pasuk in Shemais, Hu levada ya'as lechem. That this alone is what's allowed to be permitted for you to be done on Yom Tov, which is a famous pasuk regarding Eichel Nefesh, you could do certain malachas on Yom Tov. Now, who and levadai sound like they're exclusions. So the Gemara says, who, this, v'loy machshir, however, not the preparatory acts, which as Rashi explains, that could have been done from before Yom Tov, that you can't do, cooking or baking, all these things which could not have been the same of Erev Yom Tov, that you're allowed to do in Yom Tov. However, the preparations, which could have been done from before, then you can't do that. That's what the exclusion of it is excluding. Levade, alone, what's that excluding? We continue on the top of Pedal Medalf. Veloy Mila Shaloy Bezmana, however, one is not allowed to do a circumcision that's not in its proper time on the eighth day, which if we did not have a pasuk to exclude it, haba mikal v'chaymer, we would have known it from a kal v'chaymer. And that is that it should be deicha yomtiv, and that's because, as Rashi explains, because of the following kal v'chaymer. Tzaras, when someone has a tzaras, that is deicha the avoida, which means to say one is not allowed to do the avoida if he's a kain, if he has tzaras. Yet avoida is stronger on some level than Shabbos because you're allowed to do the avoida in Beis HaMikdash on Shabbos. Therefore, mila, that's even when it's not in its eighth day, which is deicha tzaras, because if in that place of the circumcision there's a baharis, there's a tzaras, that one is not usually allowed to cut up his body. But if it's in the place where he's going to cut off from the arla, he's allowed to cut it off. So therefore we find that mila is even shalei bezmana, even on the ninth day, tenth day, is stronger than tzaras. So therefore Shabbos, which gets pushed away because of the avoid in the Beis HaMikdash, which avoid gets pushed away because of tzaras, and yet tzaras gets pushed away because of mila shalei bezmana, doesn't it make sense that mila should be deicha Shabbos? Because mila is on the top of the totem pole, stronger than tzaras, which is stronger than avoid, which is stronger than Shabbos. That's why we need a pasuk of levade to exclude it, to say the following svara, and that is because since the mila is already not in this designated time of the eighth day, you would have that, for example, regarding a ger that became a ger, or a child where the father wasn't able to go ahead and do the bris on the eighth day. Now it's already post eighth day, where then you could go ahead and wait for the following day. Now, that is similar to the case that we're discussing regarding burning kachim that became pasul, where essentially that's the same thing as milish lebizman in the sense that you couldn't wait. Eighth day is eighth day. That's when it's supposed to be done. Once it's already passed, ninth and tenth, there's already all the same type of category. Eighth is different than ninth, tenth, 11th. So once you already missed eighth, then you could already wait for the following day, which is the same as burning the kachim, although there's a mitzvah, but you could wait for the following day and not be deicha. That is what we learn out from Levadoi, which again is saying that you do not do milish lebezmana, although there would be a kal v'chaymer. That tells you the same thing, that although you have a mitzvah say of be'esh tisreifu, however, one does not do it because you could technically do it the following day. Finally, the fourth pshat in the Gemara, and final is Rav Asham. He says that when it says in the pasuk of Vayikra Shabbosayin, which is a reference of the Yomtiv, which that pasuk is talking about, that it sounds like that Yomtiv has a iser to do malach, which means to stop, to rest. So when it says Shabbosayin, asehu, essentially is giving the iser of doing malach on Yomtiv a positive commandment, not just don't do malach, but saying rest. So now you have Yomtiv is what's called an asay and a lois asay. You have the lois asay of don't do malachas, and you have the positive commandment, which is to restrain from doing malacha by saying rest. If that's the case, although we know there's a famous rule that a nasei, a positive commandment, overrides a negative prohibition, however, here, this of Yom Tov doesn't just have a negative prohibition, it has a positive commandment too of not to do malacha. Therefore, the asei of burning the kachim is not going to be deicha nasei, but lois asei, and that's why it's not going to. So those are the four truths in the Gemara, although it sounds correct that one should burn it on Yom Tov. However, we have three sources from Sukkim and one Svara to say that we're not going to say asei deicha lois in this case, and that's why, as our Mishnah said, that this kachim of Nisan that's left over, you don't burn it on the 15th, you rather burn it on the 16th of Nisan.